The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 8th through Sunday, September 14th, 2025. The commentary for September was written by Emma Rosero Nordom. She was born in Tumaco, Colombia, and retired from Boston University, where she trained students in methods of teaching Spanish as a second language. As a deacon, she has served especially the Latino community, empowering women, creating training and mentorship programs, and focusing on social and racial justice. The commentary for Monday, September 8th, begins with a passage from the book of Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. By the way, it is on this day that we commemorate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Here's the commentary. Paul ends his letter to the Philippians with a prayer that I find very helpful. The letter is addressed to churches that are taking their first steps of formation as communities of faith. First, Paul affirms them and prays that the love he has observed will grow more and more in the knowledge of God. This knowledge will, in turn, guide them to discern and make the best decisions. He prays that they will be sincere and blameless in their actions. He prays that Christ's divine justice, love in action, and peace may reign among them, and that they may always glorify and praise the Lord. And now I'm going to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. And the moving forward question for this Monday, September 8th, have you carried out projects in your congregation based on Paul's counsel to the Philippians? What has been the result? The commentary for Tuesday, September 9th, begins with a passage from Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. You are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. As we read and reflect in community on the message of this letter of Paul, we feel the flame of faith shining brightly. Members of my Bible study group know that this flame is God's doing. We all feel we are worthy followers of Christ's gospel. We feel firm and united in one body, the body of Christ, and we are not intimidated by those who believe that our faith is perdition. We can imagine what the Philippians felt and how they grew in their faith and brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Encouraged, we declare, we will with God's help. In my Bible study group, the burning flame of faith shines brighter and brighter. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 30. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the world, throughout the whole imperial guard, and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, but not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted, now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, if you have felt that fire in your faith, in what way have you made it grow in your ministry and by inviting the faithful to listen to you? The commentary for Wednesday, September 10th, begins with a passage from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In my work planting Latino congregations, I am filled with joy when these communities see themselves as imitators of the life to which Christ Jesus invites us. This harmony does not occur immediately, of course. It is necessary to dispel the resistance of those who believe they are privileged in the face of someone different or in the face of those they see as inferior. However, the humility of those who were being excluded ends up conquering. All it takes is curiosity to know why we want to share, belong, embrace, and walk together as servants in Christ's name. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, how has being a part of a community of faith transformed your life? Will you invite others to join and live out the gospel call? The commentary for Thursday, September 11th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 14. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. I spent a week visiting the shelters in the border city of Juarez, Mexico. Entire families were waiting to go through the courts that would decide their future. Early in the morning, we met with those souls who were trying to cross the Rio Grande River. One of the stories broke my heart. I left 6 months ago before dawn with my two children and their mother. I left our home for an unknown destination. We had to escape from a certain senseless death. Are we paying attention to these stories? Do we understand the strength of those who make life or death decisions? Joseph and Mary had the same urge to survive at all costs. As they fled, they listened with faith to the voice of the angel. God will protect the lives of his children at any cost. Our duty as brothers and sisters is to be harbors of comfort and possibilities for so many exiles. And now I'm going to read the full chapter from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men, fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, when you hear the stories of refugees, how does your faith call upon you to help? The commentary for Friday, September 12th, begins with a passage from Psalm 51, verses 11 to 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. When I feel helpless and without the strength to fight, my refuge is to kneel down in front of my altar and raise fervent prayers of praise, gratitude, and humble petition to God. I know verses 11 to 13 of Psalm 51 by heart. In heartfelt prayer, I ask God for the greatest gift for me, to create in me a clean heart, which never feels separated from the presence of the Holy Spirit. I humbly repent of my mistakes by asking to be redeemed. In this way, I am once again embraced by the Spirit of God, who feels present, listening, and forgiving. That Spirit dwells in my being, and it dwells in us all the time. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And the moving forward question for this day is, what other psalms produce in you a sense of intimacy with God and the Holy Spirit? The commentary for Saturday, September 13th, begins with a passage from Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul advises us to be kind, cordial, and loving in our dealings, because harmony, peace, and the joy of living together in our congregations depend on kindness. And what a joy it is to be known for kindness. We pray to God, in whose presence we fully trust. We raise hymns of praise, and we thank God for the path of love that we live and share with the world outside our doors. How beautiful it is to dream of that peace that we long for in these times in which we live. Dear brothers and sisters, let us trust in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Christ Jesus will care for our minds and our hearts. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 7. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I will tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of His glory, by the power that also enables Him to make all things subject to Himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, do you feel peace and joy in your faith community? What do you ask of God? Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, September 14th, the 14th Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Jesus used parables, stories, or accounts depicting the life of his time to teach about the kingdom of God. Much has been written about these spiritual lessons that Jesus imparted to his followers. Bible parables are very popular because they contain useful lessons for our lives. Today's parable describes the joy there is in heaven when a sinner acknowledges their fault and repents. And although it is not explicitly said, the parable also alludes to the joy we feel when we are freed from the burden of our own transgressions. Even if we do not confess in public, we celebrate repentance within ourselves and joyfully seek the spiritual nourishment of the body and blood of Christ. Now I'll read the full passage from Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And the moving forward question: are there parables that speak to your soul and teach you spiritual lessons? Which ones would you share? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast right after the program at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a brand new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.